The Evolve Network is now live at evolvenetwork.tv. Subscribe for meal plans, recipes, cooking shows, and our very own The Magic Pill and The Magic Plant, as well as access to my favourite documentaries. The Evolve Network is also home to our full library of podcasts, with new release podcasts airing first and in full on the channel. You can also watch selected vodcasts in a video format. Meanwhile, enjoy this highlight of our podcast and head over to evolvenetwork.tv for the full Evolve podcast experience. The Evolve with Pete Evans podcast is a conversation about my favourite ingredients for a healthy human experience. We take an informed look at topics that include nutritional and emotional well-being, as well as expanded consciousness. I love exploring the topics that are not traditionally taught at school and take a deep dive into them with my special guests. I invite you to sit back and come along for the ride with an open mind and heart, and please share with your family and friends, as these podcasts may just be the seed from which many things will flourish from. Cheers. The Evolve with Pete Evans podcast is a conversation about my favourite ingredients for a healthy human experience. We take an informed look at topics that include nutritional and emotional well-being, as well as expanded consciousness. I love exploring the topics that are not traditionally taught at school and take a deep dive into them with my special guests. I invite you to sit back and come along for the ride with an open mind and heart, and please share with your family and friends, as these podcasts may just be the seed from which many things will flourish from. Cheers. We've been using Waters Co. water filters for the last 10 years, and I wholeheartedly trust my family's health with them. Waters Co., established 1977, have personal and domestic water filters, which turns your ordinary tap water into great-tasting, alkaline, ionized mineral water, which removes up to 99.9% of fluoride, heavy metals, chemicals, and bacteria, so you can love your tap water again. The Bio 1000 is the latest edition of the BMP 1000 model and the culmination of over 40 years of experience and research into water filtration by some of the world's leading scientists. Waters Co. was first to market with natural gravity-fed systems, creating alkaline water way back in 1984, and have continued to lead the market in research and development, setting the benchmark for all other brands to follow. Please go to my webpage, peteevans.com, to learn more and to receive your special discount from my link on the products page. You're going to love it. Alison, thank you so much for joining us. How are you, sister?
I'm good, brother. I'm glad to be here with you. How are you?
I'm fantastic. I've got the sun coming in. I've just put a nice piece of grass-fed brisket into the smoker, so breakfast is sorted in about 9 hours' time. So, yeah, I'm good.
Yeah, I was wondering, brisket for breakfast and just an hour in the smoker, so okay, good.
Well, it'll be our dinner slash breakfast, but I'm excited about our conversation because you work with energy, vibration, frequencies, and you're speaking our language. So take us on the journey of your discovery of these, I don't want to say ancient techniques.
They are, though.
Maybe that's the wrong phrase, but or terminology, but these modalities that have always existed.
Oh, I love how you put that. So seeing as you're over there in a Commonwealth country and I'm over here in a rebellious, no longer Commonwealth country, I find like the ancient wisdom that once existed, like with our alchemists in the West, it went underground into those secret societies, you know, and so I have looked to the East, including moving there for a decade. I was already doing the practices. I'd already been trained in meditation, teaching it, and was doing energy medicine sessions. And I found myself wanting to get more robust results for my clients. And we're getting great results, but I asked the universe, like, how can I get even greater, more robust results for my clients? And that coalesced with me teaching in the public school system here in Florida. And I had a master's and I wasn't making enough money to just cover basic rent and basic car and a massage a week, which I consider preventative health 101 and organic produce. And I was like, oh my God, I don't want to be in this cage. What is this, 10, 20, 30 years of the same cage? No way. Because I'd already traveled overseas many times and lived already as an expat many times and just was like wondering, where is the sense of adventure and fun and abundance? And so that those two things came together. And so I found the international school system and went to do what I had to do and went to the interviews and where all these different heads from all those international schools all over the world came to this one location. And all weekend long, we're rotating through all these different interviews throughout this hotel with all these different heads of schools and all these different hotel rooms. And I'm like all over the globe throughout the weekend. And so I chose to go to Taiwan, the little democratic Chinese nation, because it's able to be traditional there. And during Chinese New Year breaks, I'd go to Thailand or I'd go to Bali, or I didn't yet ever make it down to you guys. You're the one continent I haven't been to. But also went to India to get my yoga teacher training during one of those breaks. And so I just spent like my weekends learning and weeknights when I could after the gym, because I was a gym rat, learning about how energy flows. So I'd be sitting there getting like a traditional Tui Na massage, or I'd be getting reflexology, and I'd be sitting there with a chart and I'd ask in my Chinese, like, hey, so what's happening right now? And I was just learning. Then I'd go to monasteries and talk with them about meditation and chanting. And I pieced it together and created this vibrational upgrade system from energy medicine and applied mindfulness to help undo thought patterns that lead to behavioral patterns, but getting at it at its root through using energy medicine to get to like the unconscious and subconscious beliefs that are wired in for a variety of reasons and clear those, and then help people redirect into a new neurological pathway, a new behavioral pattern. So I'm not just like, let's open the third eye, man. I'm wanting like, you know, substantial behavioral change for people so that we can all, while we raise our vibrations, be much more joyous and have a more life.
So you go into the root cause.
Yeah.
And I love the terminology energy medicine. Tell me about those two words put together, and what does that mean for you?
Well, one of the things that I did, as you said in the beginning, and I started talking about how it went underground in the West, I came back in part with the understanding that we suffer in the West more than that's needed. Not that suffering is even needed, but if we only, instead of running from the inside of us, like as if there's a boogeyman under the bed, or we'll find our crazy, going in there and learning about our energy medicine system, we would have so much more thriving. So I came back to the States with that mission, but also with the desire and the seeing to professionalize energy medicine. Because I see people like playing around with it and calling it energy work and charging, giving it for free or charging silly rates, or it's a profession. And there is a systematic, subtle energy system we each have that links up with our consciousness, and learning to work with it is a profession. I certify people in the profession, and we can change people's lives in a priceless way by using it as a medicine instead of, let's just do some energy work. I'll send you some energy. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm fully on board with everything that you're saying. So let's talk about energy and the definition of that. So I'm going to put myself into the position that I know nothing about what you're talking about here. This is the first vodcast I've listened to on the Pete Evans channel, and I'm listening to the one with Allison, and we're going to explain what it is that you do. And why is it so important to somebody that perhaps this is their first connection into this space? Because we've talked about the root cause. We've talked about how we create our suffering in the West, so to speak. And it's so beautiful that you mentioned that, because about the running away from things, because the last podcast I did was with this endurance athlete, world champion, and amazing woman from New Zealand. And I said to her, I said, were you running away from something or running to something? You know, and she laughed and she went through the whole story. So let's talk about, again, get into the heart of what energy medicine is for somebody that's never heard of this before.
Okay. And I just have to add this in. I'm a certified personal trainer and an endurance athlete myself. So I'm different. I apply energy medicine to the body. So as a trained yoga teacher, part of my training, I had to design a sequence of poses that help open up the chakras. And anybody who goes to a yoga studio and leaves class like more peaceful, it's because you've opened up your chakras. But you hardly ever hear anybody talking about it in a yoga studio. Instead, it's downward dog, upward dog. You know, you get told the poses and you guys focus on the poses. And so we have a thing called subtle energy. So the Tibetans have a range and they call it subtle energy to crude. And it's not like it's gross, but it is gross in a way that it's physically unwieldy. It's just that physical and not dense. So they use the word crude in their spectrum of energy to matter. And it starts with the most subtle energy, really subtle, may even have to be advanced to be able to perceive some of it in energy, all the way over to you're sitting in an IMAX movie theater and you have surround sound and things are blowing up on the screen and in, around you with the sound. So that's crude or gross. And in that spectrum, we can influence reality more by working at the subtle level. We've been trained, I think, also in the West to pay attention to the material plane and appreciate it and respect it. And that which is tangible, we can prove, we can point to, we can see. And that which our intellect can create from that good university, being a good student, getting that good job, we then earn that more, much more money and we get the good Land Rover and the big house. And so it's still a level of physicality. And underneath that, what sustains all life is what's called vital life force energy. It's qi, as in qigong or tai chi, prana, which is what we call it in yoga, ki, as in reiki. Egyptians called it ka. We have four words for it in English, vital life force energy. And if you just listen to that term, vital life force energy. So it's what keeps us vital and alive and giving us the force of life. And it operates not just within us, and it can be blocked and stagnant, or it can be vital and flowing and open. It's also in the tree that I'm watching, my moringa tree right there, gently blowing the breeze. It's in the oak tree and the elderberry trees back there. The butterflies have it in them. They flutter on it and the birds do. So it's the greater field of Tao, we could call it too. So it's in every part of life that's alive. Rocks have it too, crystals. And if you go into a room and you're at a party and here's Pete in front of us and then Mike is over to Pete's right and Joe's over to Pete's left, you can, and they're not friends, they're just sitting together. We can tell the difference, not just from the looks between these three. They all have different feelings to them or textures to them. Like Pete might be the smiley, happy, light one. Mike might be like sitting there brooding. And then the other one, who Joe, I think I named him, he might have no look on his face and have like very quiet energy. And we can't really get a read on him because there's nothing physical. But if we tune in more, we can sense a sense or perception from him. It's the same thing. That's energy. That's like you go into a clothing store and you're looking at two different pieces of clothing and one inspires you. That would be what you would get because based on the energy, you're lighter, you soar because of that. So paying attention to our energy and making our choices from that is nowadays in this new paradigm we're moving into from 2012 to 2032 post-COVID. It's understood that we will build a better life based on following those energies. So let me say this, 85% of where we make our choices from on a daily basis are habitual, at least 85%. I find from all the people I've worked with, the tens of thousands, it's way more than that. Like, you know how you can go to a party, let's use this example again, a party. And let's say you're a woman wanting to get over the bad boy complex and you want to start dating kinder, sensitive, softer men. You walk into the party and your peripheral vision is not able to see or pick up or perceive the soft, sensitive men. What you notice are the bad boys. So that's habituation to the vibrations or the energy. Every thought has energy. And so your culmination of beliefs that cause you to gravitate towards bad boys rather than beliefs that would cause you to date sensitive boys is operating more. And all of that is a bunch of beliefs that are at the unconscious and subconscious level. And so you would walk into that party not even perceiving the sensitive guy because until you do work to release some of that blocked consciousness at the back of the head, I call it back of the head consciousness, you only hear 15% at most of your thoughts that you actually have, of your beliefs you actually have. So there's just so much more latent potential to open up our lives that once we start working with our consciousness and our beliefs at the back of the house, our lives seem much more limited and restricted. Does that help?
Yeah, that's a beautiful explanation, and I'm so grateful that you went there, because it's exactly what I was hoping that you would share with us. And
oh, right on.
Yeah, it was beautiful. It's a really good definition and understanding of how this works. So again, let's take an individual that this may be the first time again. How do they start to work with these subtle energies, or the gross or the crude ones, as you talk about? Is there a, when you have a new client, is there a step-by-step process, or do you work intuitively? The third part of that is, how does the individual become attuned to their own intuition?
So I don't tend to work quite as much with new clients in one-on-one capacities anymore. I train students to do that. I train them in vibrational upgrade system. So when I'm training I work in more, like, my signature program is a group program called Magic Manifestation and Money Flow. When they first enter that, they're given the root chakra to start clearing. There's that word, chakra. All right. So
I'm more fascinated about the word root, as in, because, and I want to understand why you start there, because people be like, what's the deal with the root chakra? Because it's usually the one that people don't want to look at.
Yeah, you got it, mate. So I have a PhD. And I say that not because I'm trying to be proud of myself, but because I understand, growing up in a family that emphasizes education and developing the intellect and wanting to be right, and the power of being right and getting the pat on the head and the accolades. And when someone isn't in their root, now that's not me, because I have typically been in my root, a lot of the times I'll be in the head instead. And so not even being able to feel what you feel, which is the sacral chakra, the one above the root. A lot of people don't want to be down there feeling how they really feel or experiencing life from an embodied perspective. We're so used to valuing the intellect. So many people, I call it living like you have a projector on top of your neck, just taking all your stories and projecting them onto reality, when in fact reality is just a bunch of neutral energy. So the root I start at, because in order to catalyze any change, you need to be present and embodied. And if you're working with the law of attraction and you want the universe to bring something in, they need somewhere to find you. So you need to be in your body.
Well, I love this, because it's about being rooted. And, you know, you asked me just before we started filming, what am I drinking? And I've mentioned this a few times now. For anybody that listens to these podcasts, is I always start with a really good cup of tea. And it's interesting you mentioned Taiwan before, because my wife has studied and learned to become a tea master or tea ceremony from the ancient lineage of Taiwanese and Chinese, but mainly Taiwanese tea preparation. And when she talks about it, she talks about how the tea tree, or the Camellia sinensis, has roots that go straight down into the earth. Instead of spreading out, they go right down. So they root you and they ground you in that present moment when you're having a tea ceremony or a cup of tea, which is why I always have a cup of tea while I'm doing my interviews, so I can be present and grounded into this and stuck in a good way. You know, my mind isn't wandering anywhere else. Sometimes I look out to, we live on a farm, so I'm, like you mentioned before, I look at the birds or whatever, the trees, for inspiration sometimes. Mm-hmm. When I'm lost for words, or I haven't found them yet, so I glance out there and then it comes, you know. And I'm offering this as a tip for people as well, to get rooted. You know, and it's funny, because in Australia, if instead of telling somebody to get fucked, we would say get rooted or get screwed. So it's there's a funny word with rooted.
Oh, I didn't know that. Really?
It's slang. it's slang. So let's talk about getting rooted, and why, again, this is so important for your for your teachers that are coming on this journey?
You know, one of the most impression, I just want to stay on the tea thing for a minute because it brings up so much for me. I drink vats of green tea every day. and I knew you were drinking tea, and not many people drink tea out of those kinds of ceramic apparatus that you have. Like, it looks like you're drinking soup, right? Because it's even a big one. It's not even a small tea one. And I used to, when I was in, there was this one tea shop that I would go to between where I lived in the tea house, the traditional tea house I would go to write in or grade papers before I started writing my first book, which is over there. That's why I looked over there. the way he would take those little mini cups, like what you're drinking from, and how many times you pour the water in over the fresh tea leaves. And whenever traveling all throughout Taiwan, like I would go to tea plantations and just watch them pick it on the mountainside and the vibrant colors they'd be dressed in picking the tea. I mean, it's a massive part of their culture, for God's sakes. You know, it's every part, everywhere, not every part, but it's everywhere in their culture. So yeah, I, during COVID had to learn a new way to get access to, regularly made green tea, because before that I had another way, but I wasn't going out. And prior to that, I was making it at home and realized I can't, because in Taiwan, I could pull up on my scooter at a tea stand and I could get like my day's supply of tea for like $1.25. I'd walk away with like a big tray full of teacups that they would make their organic tea and shake up and put a plastic cover on a plastic cup. Plastic wasn't great, but man, I got so used to having tea, green tea, fresh on demand. So anyway, you just sent me on a trail of tea. And tea aspects.
We're getting rooted here.
So rooted vegetables. I mean, I even, when I'm working with people, I talk about eating more rooted vegetables. Like I have one client, she's going through so much growth right now and really opening it, her intuition, because she's opening the higher chakras. But the first job I was up to was getting her rooted. Yeah. So I just find so many people are just, like if we're sitting here checking our inbox for email, how much are we aware of what our posture is doing, what our ass is doing, what our thighs are doing, you know, like our what our shoulders are doing, like how many people do that instead of like holding the shoulder blades, rolling them back and down, like we do in Pilates, you know, it's like body awareness and feelings awareness. And if you go in somewhere and you have this bodily feeling that comes from your solar plexus, the upper belly has the ability to, it has empathic equipment or machinery, and it has the ability to register what a place feels like. Are you sneezing? Bless you.
I did sneeze. I'm on mute though.
That was fun to watch without the sound. So go ahead.
So take us on this journey then. So we are bringing people back to feel. This is your job, bringing them back into feeling to start with the root chakra and then working their way through this. And what is the intention as you're going through this with your teachers or with your clients? What is your intention for them to discover about themselves?
To get free, Pete, really. It's to get free. I have this natural... I'm rubbing my head because I've been nicknamed Hawkeyes. So I have this natural ability to like just see with penetrating clarity. And it wasn't always so convenient for me before, like in my 20s and my dating life. Or later, I learned how to like use it in an applied setting to my advantage. It wasn't that it was working against me, but like, growing up, my mom said to me as an adult later, she's like, we were going to put you in a gifted program, but ultimately I didn't, because I could always see and perceive people very clearly. And so when I was 12, she said to me, Allison, why don't you think about going into psychology? You have such an innate or natural understanding of people. And that was my first major, but I left it realizing that it wasn't helping me see how to be the most happy, thriving version of myself nor others. So I left it. But the intention is to help when I see someone and I see where they're blocking themselves with these back of the house conscious this beliefs that they're not aware that they have. Systematically, I understand when I get shown the belief and the blockage and even the pattern a lot of the time when I'm very first interacting with somebody and I'm in that capacity, like I'm not doing it to you now. I teach my students not to just like walk around the health food store and start giving readings to people without any request, you know, like you just, that's too much. But when I give it permission to work on behalf of the person with me, I'll understand like their biggest pattern because they're asking to work with me. They're asking me to identify it in the first 10 minutes typically. And that always relates to a chakra or two because every chakra has a domain of life it covers. So if somebody's really resentful and bitter and having a hard time forgiving and moving on, that's, I know, the heart chakra. So I do everything I can to help a person come out of blockage and lockdown and then get free. So they have the freed up consciousness from the back of the house consciousness, and that chakra is acting like the wheel, which is what chakra means. So it's turning the vital life force energy in that area and at the mind, body, and spirit level. So a chakra is an intersection of the mind, the body, and the spirit. So I can affect so many parts of life from going to this main center. And it also helps more consciousness or life force energy flow throughout the person's system, which means they're going to become more conscious and more aware. And then that's when I start working with their intuition. If we were going to break it down step by step, because you can't, it's hard. People don't seem to get intuitive guidance if they're not aligned and open. And if they do get intuitive guidance, they just dismiss it as if they've made it up or they doubt it away and they don't take action based on it. Do you know what I mean?
Oh yeah. I know exactly what you mean.
Yeah. So I feel like there's a lot other stuff that has to get done before someone can really have their, if we think of the intuition as a GPS, before they can really use it to get somewhere. It feels like I've been shown there's a lot of other stuff that needs to get done first before that.
Yeah, it's really interesting. I'm fascinated by intuition, and anybody that's new to our podcast here, I think this is where we're approaching number 300 with Alison today. If you go back to the first 100, it played a very recurring theme in my podcast with the guests that I had on, because I feel like it's one of the keys, one of the senses that we dismiss, as you mentioned, because whereas once upon a time it was as reliable as our sense of smell or taste or touch or hearing. And I do have a feeling, like you mentioned, in the future, our intuition will be once again regarded as one of the most important senses, our spidey senses, so to speak, that we can rely upon for self-sovereignty. I mean, it's
totally,
it's how I live my life, and it's not by other people's beliefs or patterns or whatever is going on in the world. It's always here. It's always. And once you can start to tap into this, the miraculous doesn't seem so miraculous anymore. The coincidences don't seem like coincidences. It's you actually are co-creating this experience. And that can scare the shit out of people.
But Pete, hold on a second. We're doing that anyway. We're co-creating our experience with all that deadened, buried consciousness, right? So that's what I'm doing. I'm freeing it up so they can use it for a more consciously chosen experience.
But then when people are, because, you know, I know I'm going to put a little generalization out there, which I don't like to do, but in this context, I think it works. A lot of people don't know what they're meant to be doing here in this reality. Like, if I'm free to decide and create, what do I want to create? And then again, that comes back to our intuition. You know, it's nearly this cosmic joke that we have to surrender to equally as much as we embrace it and love it at the same time, which is a paradox.
Well, I find like that's the way the divine works. It's almost a universal law. And I know I've been saying for years now, repeatedly, to the point that another podcast show host who was interviewing me said she should get that on a t-shirt. It's the mind typically interprets things the exact opposite way the universe means, right? So the cosmic joke of what you were bringing up before, when I just wanted to get in there and say how, yeah, co-creation, and most people are creating by default when they're not working with that back of the house consciousness getting cleared and released, so you have more consciousness at the front.
I really hope you enjoyed the first half of this podcast. If you'd like to listen to the rest, please visit evolvenetwork.tv. That's evolvenetwork.tv. We'll see you there.
The information, views, and opinions expressed in this podcast should not be treated as a substitute for nutritional, medical, or other advice by a qualified professional. Guests in this podcast express their own opinions, experiences, and conclusions. Nothing in this podcast should be used to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any medical condition. Neither Pete Evans nor any sponsor endorse any views, opinions, or conclusions expressed or shared in this podcast.